Welcome to the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show and Podcast with Justin Colvin. Figuring out which coverage is best for you can be overwhelming and confusing. The Medicare Help Desk is here to answer all your questions. And now, here's your host, Medicare Specialist Justin Colvin.
Welcome to the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show and Podcast. Your host, Justin Colvin, author, entrepreneur, insurance broker extraordinaire. We are uncovering all things Medicare every single Sunday afternoon, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, 30 minutes of information to expand your mind and help you grow in this Medicare mess. Today is July 4th, 4th of July, and so we want to wish the country a happy birthday today. It's 245 years of the U.S. of A. So just say God bless America, and we thank you for having freedoms and all the freedoms we do have. Just want to appreciate those today. So on this July 4th edition, today's episode is the ins and outs of switching from Obamacare to Medicare. I haven't really talked much about individual health insurance under 65, as obviously the content of the show is mostly Medicare related, but this is an important topic because I deal with a lot of customers that are approaching Medicare, obviously, turning 65, new to the Medicare market, and some of them, most of them have employer health plans, but not everybody, right? A lot of folks are self-employed, like myself, and they will have typically individual health insurance, either an individual plan in the private market or Obamacare, which is the ACA Affordable Care Act. And so there's a little bit of a transition there going from that to Medicare. And so we're going to unpack all that today. So again, this is episode 19, ins and outs of switching from Obamacare to Medicare. If you're tuning in today, again, your host again is Justin Colvin, myself, and I own the insurance company, the Medicare Help Desk. We are a independent insurance broker. We're licensed in about 40 plus states around the country. So we're a national firm. We do business with a lot of different insurance companies like Aetna, Cigna, Humana, Blue Cross, United Healthcare, and many, many others. So we're an independent broker, meaning we can shop all these various companies and place you with the right plan for you. And so that's important. That's key. So we're very unbiased. I'm happy to do reviews with customers. I have well over 1,000 clients across the U.S. My number, if you have questions, you can always call us at 850-632-0033. Again, that's 850-632-0033. And we record the show here locally in Tallahassee, Florida, but we have a national footprint. Our toll-free number, if you need to reach us there, is 1-800-414-2044. And the website, again, is www.themedicarehelpdesk.com. And you can, if you have a question, you can go to our contact us page and shoot us a line there. So we'll just jump right into it. In this first segment, I want to kind of give a little bit of background of Obamacare, or ACA is the more formal term, which stands for the Affordable Care Act. Give a little bit of background on it, how it was started, when it was started, who's probably on this type of plan, the cost, just kind of a little bit of background, and then some of the different experiences I've had from customers, just their perspective. Everybody's perspective is different, of course, and much of it depends on what you pay and what kind of health insurance you have, and that will vary considerably with an Obamacare. And then we'll kind of get into the second topic or the second segment of the show about the transition from Obamacare to Medicare, things to search for, things to kind of watch out for, just some good best practices, right? So the Affordable Care Act, also known as the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, that's the full name of the bill. It was passed back in 2010 under President Obama. And the ACA is what we normally just call it for short. It's such a lengthy name, such a long bill. So colloquially, we call it the ACA or the Affordable Care Act. Other folks refer to it as marketplace plans. These are government-subsidized health insurance plans through the federal government, and it's set up on state exchanges, right? So the main website is healthcare.gov, www.healthcare.gov. The intention with this bill, this plan, is to design health insurance for those that maybe don't have it through an employer. So it's kind of a catch-all for maybe students, college students that don't have full-time work, those that are out of work, unemployed, those that are in between jobs, you know, starting a new job but haven't met their eligibility window, people on disability, people that maybe make lower income but don't qualify for Medicaid, you know, those kind of situations, and also self-employed. And so there's a lot of people in that situation, tens of millions of people on Obamacare. Now, right now, just kind of a news alert, the Biden administration has extended the special enrollment period for these plans to August 15th of this summer, so middle of the summer here, okay? It was previously May 15th. That's been extended to August 15th. So you have the ability now, if you don't have any health insurance, if you're not presently insured, you can go to the healthcare.gov website and apply for a plan up until August 15th. And then the open enrollment period is later on this fall. This was kind of created from the American Rescue Plan, which was some legislation passed earlier this year, which allowed for the longer special enrollment period and also increased the subsidy limits, which was key. So more and more people are jumping on this, but essentially it allows, if you're not familiar with ACA, there's a subsidy. That's what makes it so affordable for some people, not for everybody, but for some people. Based on your income, if you're lower income, lower middle income, you can qualify for a subsidy, which helps reduce the cost of the health insurance, okay? So that subsidy could be significant, but again, depends on your income. Some of the attributes that are nice about the Affordable Care Act, there's no pre-existing health conditions. So it doesn't matter if you have a heart attack, stroke, or diabetic. None of that applies. You know, you can get coverage guaranteed. There's no medical questions you have to answer. Cannot be denied coverage. Covers maternity benefits for women. Covers mental, nervous, alcohol, substance abuse, preventative, wellness, vaccines, prescriptions, and more. And there's also no annual or lifetime caps. So it is very attractive depending on your scenario. The plans are basically divided into four tiers: bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. And that is defined by the percentage of payment. So the bronze is paid at 60% coinsurance, silver 70, gold is 80, and platinum is 90. That's the highest percentage, which is very attractive. This is what the insurance company would pay. And there's several companies that participate here in Florida. I don't want to go too deep into this, into the weeds, but just want to give you a little bit of bio and background of the structure of Obamacare, right? And then the main tool they use to determine this subsidy, which is the biggest determination if this plan makes sense for you, is the income limit. And so what they use is the FPL, which is the federal poverty level. And so that figure, and there's a percentage based on that. Presently, it's about 400% is where that subsidy kind of falls off, essentially, or goes away. Now, with the recent Rescue Plan Act, it's been slightly expanded. So it's helping even more people. But generally, around 400% income, if your income is more than that, above the federal poverty level, that subsidy disappears. And so that's the... This is the conundrum, and this kind of goes to my other portion as I talk about this Obamacare, is different people have different experiences. I have customers that are lower income, okay, not Medicaid, but not much above it. For them, Obamacare is a godsend, right, because it makes total sense. They don't have to pay any premium. For them, they have such a huge subsidy that typically pay nothing. It's a zero premium plan, which is unheard of for health insurance, or very, very minimal, $50 to $100 a month, something very, very small. Okay, that's not, you know, typical. You can't do that without having this subsidy, but they receive that because so it's a great thing for them, all right? But as you have higher incomes, obviously you pay more, okay? And then eventually, as I mentioned earlier, that subsidy will phase out entirely at 400% above the federal poverty level, and there at that point, you have no subsidy. So it's all about perspective. I have some people think Obamacare is awesome. I'm not going to pass my opinion on what it is. I'm not going to get political. I'm just trying to be factual and informational on the show. I have other clients that think it's lousy. And obviously, it depends on their perspective. The main thing is their income. So, you know, with the rates and how this stuff is determined, the main factors that they can use are age, zip code, okay, where you live, obviously, cost of healthcare, household income, and household size. That's really it. They don't have the ability to base it off your health. That was one of the main criteria in the bill, is that we don't want people to be discriminated against. So obviously the older you are, the more expensive it's going to be. If you're 22 and in college, it's going to be very inexpensive, right? Versus someone who's 62, and that's a lot of my clients are in the other spectrum. They're older, obviously, between 60 and 65. It's much more expensive for them. And also their household income is typically a lot higher, right? And their household size, if you're older, typically your kids, if you have kids, they're adult, they're grown. You're not going to have the household size that gives you that reduced that subsidy. So there's very different opinions with this. So a lot of my clients that are on Obamacare may be paying, it's not uncommon to even for an individual spend $800 to $1,000 or more a month. I know it sounds crazy, but even more than that, sometimes families can be $2,000, $2,500, even higher because if they're older, they have the high income, they're already getting penalized because they're older, health insurance is more expensive, and they already have a large income, they don't have the subsidy. So that kind of gives you a little bit of perspective. I want to kind of cover a good ground on this so it's clear. In the second segment, we come back, we're going to go more in detail about the transition to Medicare and some other things about Obamacare, just kind of give you some information there. So, again, it's Justin Colvin with the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast. Your host, Justin Colvin, coming here live every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. All things Medicare, Social Security, and sometimes even under 65 health care, as we're talking about today. We're discussing Obamacare, transitioning to Medicare. Essentially, what I'm talking about mostly just individual health plans. You could even say even group health plans when you're kind of migrating from really under 65 to over 65. It's kind of a line in the sand that we've drawn in our country as far as health insurance is distributed, right? And so when you're under 65, it could be individual plans. I write those plans, sometimes referred to as short-term medical because they don't last in perpetuity. They're typically 1, 2, 3 years. You could do 6 months, but as it stands now in Florida, 3 years is the max duration on a short-term medical policy, which is a great tool to have and a great product for some people, not for everybody. But I'll get into that a little bit more on future shows. You could also be working, have employer coverage, or you could be self-employed or any other situation and have Obamacare, which is kind of what we're focusing on today. But all that is essentially really under 65. Over 65, you're in a whole different spectrum, which is Medicare, which is the principal portion of my business. But I do write individual health plans under 65, and mostly takes on two shapes, either a short-term medical plan, which has a term limit, like I mentioned, 1, 2, or 3 years, or Obamacare, also known as the ACA or Affordable Care Act or Marketplace plans, right? So what we're talking about today in the first segment is just the basics of Obamacare, kind of giving you a good footing, a good ground level of information, how it's structured, what kind of plans out there, the website, which is healthcare.gov, what it costs. And again, costs can go from anywhere from zero to thousands per month. It all really is based on those factors I mentioned earlier in the first segment, your age, your zip code, household income, household size. The biggest factors, of course, being your age and your income. So someone that's 20 years old, out of work, or making minimal income part-time, they're going to pay very little or nothing, right? The other side, which is a lot of my clients that are older, 50s, 60s, a lot of them really 63 to 65, kind of on the knocking on the door of Medicare, if you will, they're going to pay the most because they're older, obviously. They're at the highest ages you can have. Obamacare stops at age 65. They're going to pay the most. They typically have higher incomes, sometimes very high income if they're self-employed and doing very well. So they've got the, in terms of how the Obamacare is structured, they have the high income, they don't get a subsidy, and they're older. They're going to pay the most, and it is sometimes super high premium. So many of them don't do that. They'll stay on a group plan, or I'll do like a short-term medical plan, which is a perfect solution to kind of bridge them into Medicare. Let me touch on one thing, just to back up a little bit with the subsidy. I kind of touched on it briefly in the first segment, and I was talking about what they use to determine this. The income level is typically referred to as your MAGI, which is your modified adjusted gross income for the household. Okay, that's key. So if you're married with your spouse, 58 years of age, your children are grown, you make 100,000, six figures or more, you're not going to get a subsidy, unfortunately, if it's just the two of you. It's just not going to happen. Even with the increase in the limits under the Biden administration that recently happened with the American Rescue Plan, it's still not going to, you're still not going to qualify. Your income's too high. So that's the conundrum that we fall into. A lot of the my older clients that are doing well, they're not going to get any subsidies. So Obamacare won't make sense all the time for them. Sometimes it can be. It's just on a case-by-case situation. Many of them might do a short-term medical plan because it's far more affordable. It's just much more cost-effective than Obamacare because of the subsidy and because of the age that they're at it's just not going to make it a palatable for them. But, you know, a lot of folks say, especially if you're a family, you know, the limits they give you and you factor that 400% of the federal poverty level, I mean, there's people that can make 80, 90 grand a year as a household income. They can still get a subsidy with the Affordable Care Act, with the Obamacare plans. If you have questions about this, I know it's a lot of details and it's very granular and I'm throwing out a lot of numbers. So call me for a consultation. I'm happy to help. Again, it's Justin Colvin with the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show if you're just tuning in with us. And my number is 850-632-0033. Again, 850-632-0033. And you can also go to our website if you have questions. That's www.themedicarehelpdesk.com. So some clients that I mentioned earlier in the first segment think Obamacare is great, some not so great. I have some folks that call it the Unaffordable Care Act, and that's obviously because of their situation. It tells you clearly they're paying a very high premium. And a lot of times I can save them money with a short-term medical plan that's a lot more cost-effective. Anyway, that's just how it impacts them adversely because they have higher incomes and they have probably they're much older, so they're going to pay the highest premium with no subsidy. One thing I will tell you this, and I've had clients say, oh, I stayed on my Obamacare plan and I'm over 65. That's not supposed to happen. When you hit age 65, you migrate into Medicare, and the ACA plan is really designed for those under the age of 65. But it doesn't mean, you know, they can't make mistakes. Sometimes people somehow stay on it. Now, you're supposed to cancel it and migrate into Medicare. So I always recommend people call the marketplace, right, and ensure that the plan is going to terminate prior to you turning 65 because you're much better served by going with Medicare. The benefits are much more comprehensive. But just don't assume that they're going to end your plan at 65. They're supposed to, obviously, but, you know, mistakes happen. We're all people. And so the reason I'm making this point is that the Affordable Care Act is not considered credible in the eyes of Medicare. So Medicare has this thing what they call credible health insurance or credible coverage. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, the ACA is not, although employer health plans, group health plans are. Okay. So that's key when you're going to Medicare is you want to make sure you've had credible coverage. Usually it doesn't happen. It's not a big deal, but it can potentially pop up. So it's just kind of something to check off on your list of things you're covering as you're migrating into Medicare. The other thing is to make sure you, like I said, cancel the marketplace plan. Be specific on the day that you're going to terminate. So, for example, let's say I'll assume me, Justin Colvin here. I'm turning 65 in October. I'm not. I'll turn 41, but let's say I'm turning 65 this October. My birthday is October 5th, by the way. So with Medicare, you default to the first of the month in which you're eligible. So it doesn't matter what day you're born in the month. You always default to the first, unless you're born on the first, and then it starts 1 month early. But most people born from the second through the end of the month, yeah, this for simplicity, Medicare starts your benefits on the first. So I would, you know, hypothetically, if I'm turning 65 this October 5th, I would start Medicare benefits 10-1 of 2021. Now, you know, if I'm on an Obamacare plan, right, I would want to make sure I call the marketplace and cancel my Obamacare effective 10-1. Why? Because obviously my Medicare is going to be at 10-1. And then, of course, I'd probably get some kind of supplemental or, you know, prescription plan to go along with that. But that you just want to make sure your transition is kind of seamless. You don't want to have any lapses or gaps in dates of coverage. It's better if it's okay if it overlaps by day, but you don't want to have like a day where you don't have coverage. Like I wouldn't want to end my Obamacare plan on, say, September 15th, right? And then Medicare starts 10-1. That would be foolish. Now you have a 2-week, you know, gap of no health coverage. So just make sure it's congruent from one like healthcare system to another, because this is like a entirely different system when we go from under 65 ACA Affordable Care Act plans into the Medicare system. The biggest benefit I would say about Medicare, it's nice, that's a big benefit compared to Obamacare. Obamacare is a network-based plan, and so typically it's an HMO or an EPO, which is an exclusive provider organization. It's kind of a hybrid between an HMO PPO. Nothing wrong with that, but that's just the way it's structured. That's the way most managed care plans are. But with Medicare, original Medicare, the network is the largest out there. I mean, all the top facilities are on it. You know, all your top hospitals, your university hospitals, Duke, MD Anderson, you know, Johns Hopkins, Mayo Clinic, et cetera. So you do have a lot of flexibility with Medicare as you kind of make your transition. One thing I will say just to prepare you as you're doing your shopping, again, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of this just depends on your perspective. You talk to two people, you can get two different experiences, like looking at an ink blot. You know, one person might see a butterfly, and then the other person sees, you know, a rhinoceros. It doesn't matter. It's just like an ink blot, right? So you just, people see different things. That's based on what they see. And so with Medicare, you have great coverage coming into this, all right, from Obamacare. The cost just may be different. That's the biggest thing I can tell people, is it depends on what you were paying previously. So always try to get an idea as a broker to find out, okay, what do you have right now? What's your current health insurance coverage? What are you paying? What's your experience? What do you like? What do you don't like? And from there, we establish a baseline. And I try to tell them, listen, if you're on, you know, say you're lower income and you've got Obamacare and you pay $50 a month, well, obviously you have a really good deal. Medicare is going to be more expensive because Part B is $148.50 just for the Part B, and then you have to add extra coverage to that. So they're going to think maybe this kind of stinks for me. I've got to pay more money. This is not a good deal, but it's just perspective. I have other clients that pay $1,000 a month, so they can't wait to get into Medicare, right? So again, as we talked about earlier in the first segment, it just depends on your perspective, what you're used to, what you're used to paying, and that will vary. But either way, I'm always here to help. If you have questions about today's topic, certainly give me a call. The number again is 850-632-0033. Again, it's Justin Colvin with the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast. Have a happy 4th. We will see you next Sunday. Take care.